Welcome to JBJS OrthoCore. Listen as members of the ortho community, residents, surgeons, educators, staff, and patients share their stories about the experiences and people most important in their lives and the lessons they learned along the way. OrthoCore is an audio archive inspired by StoryCore and independently organized by the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today. If you could just give me your name and kind of where you grew up and did your medical school and everything.
That sounds good. Thanks so much for inviting me, Anna. I'm really excited to be able to do this. I'm Heather Valier, an orthopedic trauma surgeon in Cleveland, Ohio. I grew up in Wisconsin. I was born in Milwaukee, and my family is still there. And so that's where I lived until I went away to college at Northwestern into medical school at Stanford. I stayed in California for 6 years and took kind of a prolonged medical school journey to do a little more research and teaching while I was out there. And I got very excited about ultimately having a career in an academic center. Then I matched into orthopedic surgery and went to the University of Wisconsin for my residency, followed up with a year of trauma fellowship at Harborview in Seattle. And then I've been in Cleveland ever since then. I'm a professor at Case Western Reserve University. I recently changed my practice affiliation from one trauma center to another in town, but all kind of working with the same people, including a lot of the same residents.
Great. So how did you originally get interested in orthopedic surgery and specifically orthopedic trauma?
Yeah, I was one of those people at medical school who was just excited about any clinical work that was available. So during those preclinical years back in the days where a lot of schools just had 2 years of classes and a couple years of clinical rotations, I did these early clinical experiences. So every quarter I would try to connect with at least one physician in a different area to explore. And I had tried a lot of medical and pediatric rotations and specialties, really had fun. But one of my anatomy TAs, who was an orthopedic grad student, said, you should try orthopedic surgery. I think you'd really like it because you enjoy anatomy. And I was like, oh, I could do that. And sure enough, I tried pediatric ortho one summer and had a really intensive experience, which I started out just in the outpatient clinic for several weeks until the residents kept nudging me, like, you should come to the OR. I think you might really like it better than clinic. And again, they were right. So that sold me on it. And I became really excited about the possibility of an orthopedic career. And as I mentioned before, my medical school pathway was a little bit non-traditional. I stayed and did some research on the front end before my rotations. And then I took an extra year to try to synchronize schedules with my husband, did an extra clinical year. It really allowed me to explore many areas within orthopedics and otherwise that I didn't get a chance to do later on. So that was a lot of fun. And while I was there, I was exposed to most of the ortho specialties, and I liked trauma, but I wasn't really sure. I still had that first exposure through peds, and I was kind of interested in that, but ultimately felt like dealing with the parents at that level probably wouldn't have been good for me, wouldn't have been the best use of my skills. And so when I was an intern in my orthopedic residency, we did 3 months of trauma, and that was really the point where I kind of felt like, this is what I'm going to want to do. And I love trauma because I enjoyed the variety. At that point, it was peds, adults, you know, all different socioeconomic background, isolated injuries, multiple trauma patients. And I enjoyed the polytrauma patients a lot because we were in the ICU and we were interacting with the team, really learning about the physiology of the multiple injured patient and about resuscitation. And those were things that I really enjoyed. I've continued to enjoy. And so trauma was my first really deep exposure into orthopedics, and it was one that left a huge mark. And I think all of the other areas really never lived up to my enthusiasm for trauma. So I got sold on it pretty early and never really deviated from that path.
Great. So would you say, are there specific mentors who influenced you and how?
You know, when I was in medical school, there were two people who were really formative. One of them was my research advisor. He was actually a pediatrician, neonatologist, and one of the deans of the school. And he gave me a job in his lab, and I enjoyed doing research with him, and I enjoyed developing neonatology. But beyond that, he was a wonderful role model because he really encouraged me to try to solve problems and help to build my confidence that one day I could be a researcher and I could contribute academically. And he really pushed me to kind of think about options, knowing that I probably wasn't going to go into peds and into his field, but he was very supportive and continued to advise me, even though I got on the orthopedic pathway. So he was really formative in a very deep sense, my commitment to academics. When I was a resident, Dick Lang was a powerful mentor for me. He was a trauma surgeon at the University of Wisconsin, and he was a very challenging surgeon to work with. His demands for the residents were very high, and I think that that was stressful, but it made me realize that he was really concerned about taking the best care possible of patients, and he wanted us to be as sharp as we could be, always thinking of different options, always making sure that we had paid attention to every detail and that we were prepared as well as we could for cases or for clinic or whatever it was. It was just a standard of expectation that was a little different than I had encountered for most, and for better or worse. It was more stressful in a lot of ways, but I think he pushed me to a different level, and I really respected that. And then as I got through fellowship and into practice, Brendan Patterson was a wonderful mentor for me. He was my first boss in the orthopedic department, and he mentored me, opened a lot of doors for me, really allowed me time to develop as an academician and a clinician, and he encouraged me to start a research program at our hospital and to take over the teaching program and to develop new things. And when I would ask for resources or for support or how to solve different problems, he was really a good listener. And if there were things that he didn't have personal experience with, he really tried to help to encourage me to figure it out or to lean on his network when he could. And I felt like his care for me as an individual and for the greater good of our department were unmatched by many of the people I had encountered. And so his leadership and mentorship abilities are really exceptional.
So what lessons has your work life taught you?
I think they taught me a lot about how to work effectively as a member of a team. And it's different when you're a member of the team and when you're leading the team. Of course, there's a lot of overlap, but I feel like I've been able to learn a lot from other people and from my own mistakes or successes as to how to do things more efficiently and how to be a better listener and respectful of others, yet to get their buy-in if you want to move them in another direction. How are you going to do that? How are you going to solve the problem? I think if they've sharpened my skills, time has sharpened my skills in those ways, but has also kind of showed me when to let go of things. And that's something that I didn't come to medicine with a lot of patience. But like, okay, this is what I got to do. I'm going to study for this, then I'm going to do that, then I'm going to check these boxes and get to this next step. And that works to some extent. However, as you know, as you get further along, it's really not that simple. And so there were things where you have to decide, am I going to do this or am I not? Because we can't all solve all the problems. And so it helped me learn how to say no, how to refocus my efforts, how to deal with disappointments, and figure out where best to spend my effort, whether it's on a project or whether it's on helping develop other individual people. Whatever the case might be, I feel like I have more patience to kind of think about it and recognize that things are probably going to take longer than I would like and that I expect. Yet if it's what I really want to do, we should go for it. But then also recognizing that sometimes it's not going to work out. And it may be painful to say, you know, I would have done it differently, or maybe we should have pursued this. But it's better to acknowledge that and to move forward. And there may be lessons learned, maybe even lessons that you can share with faculty colleagues or residents, fellows, people on the team. And so I try to be really honest and credible in terms of doing that, because I think that if I would have had more of that going along, it would help me to make better choices and to be more efficient with my own path.
What would you say you're proudest of?
Kind of tough. I feel like I've been so blessed to work with a lot of really wonderful teams, and I don't know if I have a one single thing, but I in kind of thinking about that question, I enjoy mentoring and developing other people. And so some of the work that we did, research like developing the early appropriate care protocol, was a lot of fun. There were many challenges, and there were so many people who helped with that project, and I feel very proud of our work together. And I feel like we were able to change some of the way that orthopedic trauma is practiced and to continue to ask questions that haven't yet been solved. But to be part of that was really exciting and very rewarding. So I'm proud of that. And I think the other piece is something more recent for me. Really, the last 10 years, I've shifted a lot of my career emphasis into the recovery space, recognizing that our patients really, they get better when we fix their fractures, we take care of all the broken bones, but all of these pieces of them as a person, their social state, their mental health state, I didn't really get any teaching on that. You pick it up a little as you go, and mostly because you realize all the things that people are missing are there, and you don't know how to fix it. And so for me, I think helping trauma systems to develop programming to address these issues and helping individuals, whether it's students, residents, other surgeons, nurses, people on the team, to realize that each of us can take a more active role in doing those things by how we communicate, by how we document, by how we refer, as well as we can move the needle in our own system sometimes by getting leaders on board and helping to develop more formal programming. And so that's one of the things that I'm excited about and kind of proud to be part of a movement that I think is going in that direction.
Do you have any regrets?
Let's see. Regret so much as if I started over, I would do things slightly differently. It's really tough. I don't know the right answer to that because, you know, I always think like I don't feel badly how things went. I feel really blessed that there were so many really fun, exciting things that have happened to me this far and still have some ways to go. Yeah, it's challenging. And I think for me, I made huge sacrifices for my career and sacrifice time with my spouse and my family. And fortunately, we turned out okay. You know, I've been married for, gosh, I'm embarrassed I have to count, like since almost 32 years ago. And so it's a long time. And I have two adult children, and they're wonderful people, and they develop into mature individuals that are different than me and my husband, but they're doing fine, they're out there. And I feel really proud of that. Yet I missed so much of their early years, some of which they don't remember because they were so little, but some of which they do. And I feel a little sad about that. I think I would have taken more time to be intentional about vacation time away or making sure I was attending, you know, a handful of sporting events or little things, even at the elementary school stage, just to be a little more present. And whether they were missing me or not, I feel like I missed it a little. And so I don't feel super regretful. I don't feel jealous necessarily, but I see a lot of residents or faculty partners who are carving out more time to do those things. And I encourage them. You don't get the time back. It goes really fast. And so I think for me, just making a subtle shift in emphasis and time allocations probably wouldn't have changed my career trajectory a lot much, but it would maybe feel a little bit more.
So maybe related, but if you could talk to a younger version of yourself, what would you say?
I would kind of say what I just said, but then remind them that this is a tricky thing because you got to push yourself really hard. And I see a lot of really talented, committed individuals coming through. But honestly, I feel like you have to work very hard. This is difficult. You need to go and you need to do thousands of surgeries. And you need to get a lot of training. You need to study like crazy. And so make sure that you are doing that and just work your tail off to get as proficient as you can to be an exceptional surgeon, to know the related literature, to get out there. And if you have the interest and the aptitude to be in an academic setting, you're going to have to push yourself that much harder. It's not easy. And so be ready for it. Prepare for it. Make sure that you're setting yourself up with mentors, that people in your support system, if you have a significant other or a spouse or a family, that they're aware there's going to be a period where it's going to be really tough. We won't have as much time, but we have to carve out time to make sure that we sustain ourselves so that you're working that hard battle, that you're taking care of yourself. I think in the self-care realm, it's also something that I traditionally was not very good at, and I'm much better at it now. You know, make time for regular exercise and make sure that my eating habits are better. And I feel like, gosh, it probably took about 10 to 15 years there where I was really in a bad way, not working out and eating poorly. And it's super unhealthy. And you can do it for a while and you think like, oh, well, yeah, it's not great, but I'll just keep going. And no, that's not good. Like, just try to make some subtle changes. You don't have to go way all one direction. But if there's time, I think there's a piece of that that has to do with the fact that you're deciding to do a little bit of something for yourself. And it's okay. We get trained to say, like, I can put that off. I don't need anything for me. I don't need time away. I don't need to do these hobbies that I used to enjoy. But you should. You should try to carve out some time. I think we need time for ourselves. We need time for special relationships, a significant other, a spouse, or children if you have them. And we need time in groups. And you have to maintain all those little pieces. And each of us has a different set of needs. It's just one will feel complete. So you don't know what yours are, but don't neglect any one of those areas, because I think you're going to potentially feel regretful and you won't perform as well. You just won't. Because inside, you're going to feel that tension and that conflict, and it will prevent you from being as capable as you can be as an orthopedic surgeon.
So, how has your life been different than you imagined?
It's different than I imagined in that kind of along the way, this is a piece of mentorship that I give to a lot of people. I had envisioned kind of taking a more traditional route and sort of having some like maybe basic science lab connections based on my undergraduate background and my medical school research background, but very basic science-y. And that's wonderful. If you can do that, if that's something you're interested and passionate about, I was, and it didn't really turn out that way. It wasn't just in the setup when I took my job at a level one trauma center, yet there were other wonderful attributes. And so I think that when you look at the reasons why you want to take a job in terms of how you're going to prioritize, you know, where is it located? Is it good for your family? Is it the right clinical mix? Is it a plan that's going to keep you busy? Is it going to afford you the academic, clinical, leadership, whatever opportunities in the next 3, 5, 10 years that you'd like? Those are all good things to look at. But recognize that you're probably going to have to concede on some of those things. Yet that's not the end of the world. There's a lot of things that I've been able to do. And I just talked with you about the clinical research piece and the recovery piece. I never envisioned any of that. And what wonderful things have they been on my pathway? And so I think that when opportunities arise, search your soul and say, hey, you know, is this something I want to do? And go do it. The other thing that has turned out differently is that I was like, you know, see a problem, fix it, we'll move on. And I feel like there were a lot of problems along the way where I learned, like, you know what, this isn't worth my time anymore. I wish this were different, but I can't invest in that because I need to do these other things. And so each of us, again, has a different amount of endurance, interest, capability, much of it is situational, right? Who's there and what are the forces working with you or against you on whatever endeavor it is? But knowing when to say no or to walk away, I think that if I started over, I would do that differently. And so that's turned out different than I thought in that some of these things, yeah, there's still problems. And I wouldn't say I've sold out, like, no, you know, whatever. It still bothers me, yet it wasn't the right time or place for me to be part of that group that's going to fix it. But when you get together with like-minded professionals, I think the OTA has been a wonderful piece of my career path to work with a lot of other, you know, great surgeons, friends around the country, around the world, who face similar challenges and exchanging ideas, and maybe work formally as a society working on some of these things. And maybe it's more just kind of exchanging information or using a friend to call a friend to help add you to their network or whatever it is. And so there's all kinds of things that can come up on that I didn't really realize would be valuable to me. And so, you know, back to your prior question about what advice would you give, I would say be on the lookout, because there's all these things that will happen when you get introduced to someone somewhere that will come back maybe the next year or maybe 10 years later to be something that turns out is a really valuable relationship.
All right, our last question, and you've said this a little bit along the way, but for for generations listening to this years from now, is there any other wisdom you would want to pass on to them?
I would say just keep setting goals, push yourself as hard as you can. You give yourself that little piece of recovery, healing, time that you need, so you don't lose yourself in the process. It's really important that you don't lose yourself along the pathway, because it will leave you sad, potentially bitter, disappointed. It may sever relationships with key family members. You know, any of these things can happen. I've seen it happen. And it's really a shame. But doing that, and then also really trying to treat other people with respect in your workplace, the relationships that you build. And you might think, oh, this is just the person who scrubs with me on Thursdays, like whatever, you know, they're not really helpful. I don't really feel the need to get to know them. Or you know what? You might be with them for a lot of years. So I would say do what you can to, you know, treat everyone with respect, to build relationships on your team, and that will come back. It, first of all, just makes your day more pleasant, usually. And it will come back because other people will recognize that you're in it for the greater good and you're there to help build the team, and they're going to want to help be on the team too. And so it really pays off in tangible and intangible ways, hugely, more than I ever realized.
Well, thank you so much. This has been great.